T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get to take a break from talking about a brutal Met loss by dreaming about real football. We'll get a little pretend football tonight and tomorrow, but real football is just around the corner. And joining us right now, Radio.com Insider, has his own podcast. You can follow him on Twitter as well. Ross Tucker joins me. Ross, how you been?
Evan, I am fantastic, although it is crazy hot down here in Jacksonville, bro. Holy crap.
I can only imagine how it feels. And that's why when I see all of these star players who may not even suit up for the preseason, Le'Veon Bell, Saquon Barkley, I kind of get it. I mean, I wouldn't want to be out there playing in 105-degree weather as well. But tell me, is it important for these guys, for star players? And I'll talk about the local guys like Saquon, who may not get a snap in the preseason. Do you think it's important to at least be out there a little bit for some of these preseason games or not at all?
All right, so I got a couple things for you. All right, so number one, when we got off the plane yesterday, it said on the car, feels like 109 degrees. Mm. So that's how hot it is in Jacksonville. Number two, to your point, to not wanting to be out there, I remember distinctly in 03 playing for the Bills down here in Jacksonville. It was the second week of the year, Evan, and it was a Sunday 1 o'clock game. I'm on the team bus going to the stadium, and I look out, and we cross like the river, whatever it is here in Jacksonville. All these people are on boats. All these people are drinking, and I'm at 315 pounds about to put a helmet and shoulder pads on against Henderson and Stroud, just thinking, man, holy crap. I wanted to be in one of those boats so bad, much rather than what I was doing. But to your point, I think every guy's different. I really do. I don't think anybody would tell you that they need to play in the preseason, but I know that there are guys that want to play in the preseason. Like tonight, I know Malcolm Jenkins, you know, who's played forever, was asked about it by the Philly media this week, and he said he wants to play in at least one preseason game. Then you talk to other guys, and they're like, nah, no thanks. Right. They don't want to take any chance of getting injured. They don't really feel like they need it. They'll be ready to go week one. So like a lot of things, especially the older guys are, the better feel they have for what they personally need or want to get ready. And there's some vets like Malcolm that says he wants to play. And then there are others that say, you know what? I don't really need it. I'll say this, by the way, you want like a take quake, Evan? You want me to get your phones rocking and rolling?
Uh-oh, what do you got?
All right. Let's talk about Saquon Barkley for a second. Do you agree with me that whether it's Eli for however long or Daniel Jones, that the Giants really aren't going to go anywhere this year? Is that fair?
I think that is a very fair statement that most Giant fans probably agree with you on.
Okay, so let's pretend I'm a Giants fan. Forget, I'm not even a Giants fan. Let's say I have a 25% investment in the New York Giants. Like, they are a business. I'm invested in that business, and I am interested in growth over the next 10 years. You're in New York. There's all the Wall Street guys, whatever. How much sense does it make to give Saquon Barkley 400 touches in what's going to be a lost season?
No,
I mean, just think of it logically. He's a depreciating asset. He's the best asset they've got. He's amazing. I don't know. Like, I want Saquon to be able to have 400 touches next year when it's Daniel Jones' second year. Well, and the year after that, I don't want him getting beat up like Gurley or these other guys. I'm not saying sit Saquon. I'm just saying if you looked at this as a straight business investment only, there would be some hedge fund dudes that would say, I wouldn't play Saquon Barkley at all this year. I would just save him for 2020.
Well, a couple of things about it. Number one, that's why with running backs in the preseason, just talking about the preseason, I wouldn't want to play him because I figure they only have so many bullets. I don't want to waste them on a game in August. Same thing with Le'Veon Bell. But here's the second thing I'd say about that. early in the season. I'm trying to win. Early in the season, this is why we love the NFL. We love the NFL, Ross, because anything can happen. As much as you and I may sit here and say the Giants aren't going anywhere, they're going to win 5 or 6 games, it's the NFL. I remember the Jets a few years ago when I thought they were going 1-15. They were 3-2. They won 3 in a row. I was getting all excited. So early in the season, hey, I'm going you-know-what to the walls to try to win. But if I'm sitting there at 3-9, am I going to start to look at Saquon late in the year and say, you know what, I don't want to overextend him at this point? Like, I don't think that's crazy, but I think early on, bro, I got to go for it. I'm trying to win.
Yeah, look, stranger things have happened. You never know. Jones looked really good the other night. It was only one drive, but guess what? It was his only drive. And we've seen in this league some young quarterbacks, Russell Wilson's rookie year, Patrick Mahomes last year. You know, there is a recent track record of young quarterbacks playing pretty well. You think about Dak Prescott. Nobody saw that coming or that team coming. So I would agree, and I don't think the Giants have the weapons outside or the defense to really do that. But you really want to try to get the value out of Daniel Jones while he's on the rookie contract. That's assuming he ends up being good. But no, I'm with you. But I would also say this. Why on earth would you play Eli at all this year, really? Like, I guess if the argument is, hey, you never know, all right, then let's let Eli have a couple games early and maybe the Giants surprise us. Their O-line, I think, is going to be a lot better. And maybe with Saquon and second year for Eli with Shermer, maybe they can win some games. Maybe they can get us excited and surprise us. But as soon as that's not the case,
right,
I get Eli out of there as soon as possible. I mean, there's no value added in playing him at that point.
No, I agree, and I think most Giant fans eventually want to see Daniel Jones. And I know the comparison that Dave Gettleman made is the Kansas City model, and we know that's completely unrealistic because the Chiefs are a playoff team. The Chiefs were a very talented team. We didn't play Patrick Mahomes. So the one I go back to, Ross, were the Bengals 15, 16 years ago when John Kitna played a full year while the number one overall pick, Carson Palmer, waited. You know, you remember that? So it happens, but most of the time we're going to see that rookie quarterback. We're going to see that guy, whether it's week 2, whether it's week 10, whether it's week 12. Eventually, we're going to see that guy unless the Giants stun us all.
Right, but usually the point I would make about that is I don't think you put the rookie in until you feel comfortable that he's ready and that he can go out there and run the offense and not embarrass himself. But the thing about Daniel Jones is he's not really a guy that's known for this unbelievable arm talent and physical ability. I mean, what they like about him is his professionalism, how smart he is. I mean, he was committed to Princeton, my alma mater, until the Duke Blue Devils offered him a scholarship like in December of his senior year. It's like crazy for me, Evan, to think that a kid that was about to go to Princeton could have been the 6th pick in the draft for the New York Football Giants. But my point is this. Part of the value of taking Daniel Jones, I think, is unlike Kyler Murray, who started 1 year, or Haskins, who started 1 year, Jones has played a lot of football, and Jones is a very bright kid. So I would argue that he should be ready to roll sooner rather than later.
Well, he looked good in that first preseason game, like you mentioned, on the one drive. What should you look for when you're watching a rookie quarterback, especially when in the preseason they're facing a lot of backups? And he did with the Jets during that drive. The Jets did not have a lot of their starters on the field, though obviously you can't tell the difference with the corner position because they're basically all terrible. But what are you looking for when you watch a young quarterback in the preseason, especially when they aren't facing the best competition?
Right, so any quarterback, anytime you're looking at ball placement, it's the most important trait for any quarterback ever. Not only accuracy, but where are they putting the ball to prevent it from being intercepted or tipped, giving their guy a chance to run with it, et cetera. But the thing for me, and part of this is the O-line in me, but even like, you know, this is what Nate Sudfeld, who is battling to be the Eagles' backup quarterback, this is what he told me last week before the game. He said, I just want to get the ball out of my hands quickly. I want to know where I'm going with it, get the ball out quickly. That is usually by far the best sign. So when I watch any young quarterback, Evan, especially Daniel Jones, how quickly is he getting the ball out of his hands? Because that will tell you how much he knows what the heck's going on and how fast he's processing it. If he's dropping back, ball out, dropping back, ball out, that's a really, really good sign. And even so much more important than people realize, because it tells you that the game's not too fast for him.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, radio.com insider. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Let me ask you an Eagle question. You are calling the Eagle-Jaguar game. How concerned should the Eagle fan be about Carson Wentz's ability to stay healthy? Because they don't have the backup plan of Nick Foles. You mentioned guy like Nate Sudfeld, Cody Kessler's on the roster. You don't exactly feel comfortable that if Wentz goes down again, there's a magical run sitting behind them. So what's your concern level for Wentz's ability to get through a full season healthy?
Well, they're going to have to be concerned about it until he shows he can do it, right? Now, he did play all 16 games his rookie year, but he actually hurt his ribs in the preseason, the first preseason game, and missed the last three preseason games that year. And actually wouldn't have played until the Eagles traded Bradford to Minnesota. But, you know, the last 2 years, he hasn't been able to finish the season. So it's the number one topic in Philadelphia. They are concerned about it. They should be until he proves he can do it. He hasn't proven he can do it. Now, I'll tell you this, though. You know, there are other guys. You think about, like, Matthew Stafford. Or there's always these guys who are like, oh, he's injury prone, because they get a couple injuries earlier in their career. And then Stafford's played like 128 straight games,
right,
or something. So he can put it behind them. The only thing I know for sure, Evan, and having a little bit of a feel for this Eagles organization, now this is my first year calling their preseason games, but I just can't imagine that they would give him that contract if they were worried about the back at all. So I think that they look at both injuries, the torn ACL, he was diving for the goal line against the Rams to try to be the number one seed. Okay, you can understand that. Last year he had the back issue. I don't think if the Eagles were concerned, they'd give him a deal with whatever it is, $60 million guaranteed. He's on this fourth year of his deal. He has the fifth-year option. I mean, they had plenty of time to wait, but they didn't want to wait because they knew they had that much faith, Evan, that he would play really well this year and that the cost would just go way up, that they thought, nope, let's sign him to $32 million a year now rather than have to pay him more later after he has an awesome year.
Right, right. We're talking to Ross Tucker. How big of a jump do you think Sam Darnold makes in year two?
Gigantic. That's my guy, man. That's my guy. Last year before the draft, I thought he was the best quarterback. Baker Mayfield's very impressive. I still think Darnold's the best quarterback. I thought that ever since I called the U.S. Army Bowl he played in when he was in high school. He's awesome. I mean, last year for Westwood One, I called that Jets-Texans game. He is a natural. And look, is he going to be up and down this year? Probably. But his spatial awareness, his natural feel for the game and position, they are really, really special. I mean, I mentioned it at least five times in that mid-December game against the Texans. I just couldn't believe, especially when he was outside of the pocket, I just couldn't believe some of the, like, it's almost schoolyard plays, almost like Favre-esque, Romo-esque, very, very impressive. And this year, I think they gave him a reliable slot guy in Crowder, yep, which really helps. And the offensive line will be better. I give them a lot of credit. You know, when's the last time a team brought in guys like Ryan Khalil and Alex Lewis during training camp? They've made that unit a lot deeper. I think they've made it better. You're also giving him some easy completions with Le'Veon Bell. So now he can still go deep to Robbie. He can still run around and make plays like he can. But he actually has some what should be easy completions to Crowder and Lev Bell. I expect Darnold to be in the conversation that people start saying, hey, is this guy a top 10 quarterback by the end of this year?
Love hearing that. I'm so excited for this season as a Jet fan. The concern, though, is the corners. I mean, the cornerbacks are terrible. I think Joe Douglas has to do something. I know that's easier said than done. But as you know, we're going to get cuts coming up in a couple of weeks. Guys who aren't on rosters who would probably start for this team at the corner position. How aggressive would you be if you're Joe Douglas to go out and add some corners? Because Trumaine Johnson was terrible last year, as it was. Now he's hurt. I don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the year. How aggressive would you be if you're Joe Douglas to try to fix that position group before the start of the year?
Well, it's a major, major problem That's the position I would say in the NFL, after quarterback, you're talking O-line, D-line, and corner, where you really don't want to be lacking depth. That said, you know, you look around the league, Joe was in Philly. Philly's got a lot of corners, man.
Yeah.
Because of the injuries they had last year, Philly's got, you know, Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, Avante Maddox. You know, they've got Darby coming back from injury, Jalen Mills coming back from injury. The problem is, yeah, you know, I don't know if Philly's willing to make a move while those guys are still coming back from injury until they're really proven that they're healthy and they're back. So I'll be curious to see whether the Jets look at this year as a year where they could really do something special, and in that case, trade draft picks in order to try to get really legit guys at corner, or if they say, you know what, let's realize this is a build year, but this is not the year, and we can find some young guys off of practice squads or a couple guys that get waived and kind of live and die with those guys this year. Maybe it's a 7-8, maybe even 9-win season, but this year probably isn't the year anyway. So let's not invest a lot of draft capital in trying to trade for guys. And by the way, Evan, you know this. I mean, what team is looking to get rid of corners?
No, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
It's not a buyer's market there. Yeah. I don't know if you want to be giving up a fourth round pick for a guy that's not really that much better than Perry Nickerson. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. Well, have a good broadcast tonight, Eagles, Jaguars. We're also always good talking to you. I'm sure we'll talk to you as we get closer to the start of the year. Thanks for popping on.
Yeah, man. You know that. Anytime.
Ross Tucker. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. He's got his podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and he's a radio.com insider. We'll come back. We'll look at the quarterbacks drafted in the first round over the last decade and how quickly they get a chance to play in comparison to when we think Daniel Jones will play. We'll get to that coming up, plus John Heyman at 12 noon and your calls a little bit later on as well. Is your summer weight loss goal not working out? Well, you can still be slimmer for the summer since it only takes 40 days to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds with NJ Diet. NJ Diet's contractually guaranteed money-back program starts with bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. NJ Diet then uses DNA testing to create your...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.